Thank you for joining us for another Financial Crime Podcast brought to you by Jade Third Eye, a Skipton Group company specialising in transaction monitoring and sanctions screening. My name is Adrian Isaac. I'm joined today by Colin Dixon, our AML solutions specialist who has been helping Jade clients set up their transaction monitoring rules for many years. Hi, Colin. Good to have you here over from New Zealand. Hope you've been enjoying the UK.
Yeah, thanks, Adrian. It's good being part of the UK team for a while and to be joining you today.
The reason I wanted to talk to you today, Colin, is because recently you've been spending more time setting up transaction monitoring that focuses on the victims of crime rather than the offender. And we felt that it would be interesting to learn more about what is driving that and what suggestions you might have based on what you have learned. Perhaps you can talk us through it.
Traditionally, anti-money laundering practices focus on identifying offenders with the ultimate aim of reducing the level of offending. Transaction monitoring is put in place to detect patterns of financial data that indicate an offender has moved funds in the placement, layering, or integration phases of money laundering. The need to launder money follows a predicate offence, such as fraud or modern slavery. So transaction monitoring is also used to detect offenders committing predicate offences. This is all good, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that for every offence, there is a victim. The effect upon the victim is often long-lasting and life-changing. As AML professionals, instead of solely focusing on identifying offenders, we should also be understanding and identifying the financial patterns that indicate that someone is being victimized. We need to keep thinking about how to detect offenders, but let's try changing our point of view to also thinking about the victim. If we view transactions through the lens of a victim, we may find that we identify new rules to add to our transaction monitoring suite.
Right, that sounds really interesting. Can you give us an example of what you mean?
So let's take a modern slavery case as an example. A young woman is brought into the country under false pretenses and forced to act as a prostitute. She's working with other young women in similar circumstances. Let's assume she needs to open a bank account. The first sign might be at account opening in a branch. The woman might be accompanied by a man who does all the talking, saying that she doesn't speak English. So this is a frontline task to spot this behaviour. The contact details given might be the same as other young women from overseas who've opened account recently. The contact details are most likely those of her controller. Over time, money being paid into this account will mostly be taken straight out. The account balance will always stay very low, so the woman effectively has no money of her own and has to rely on her controller for food and shelter. This is a similar pattern to money laundering when an account is used to pass funds through, but the amounts are much lower and would normally fall under any threshold for money laundering. The withdrawals will be to the same receiving account held by her controller. The other young women might also be sending money to the controller's account. From this scenario, we can develop rules to look at a number of these indicators. Any one of them on their own might just produce false positives, but a combination would indicate the need for further investigation into the account of this woman, other connected women, and their controller.
We're now seeing a lot of data coming out about the sheer scale of fraud taking place. It's a massive problem. You've got an example of how you could detect a customer who is a victim of fraud?
Here's an example of a romance scam. In this example, the offender is overseas, so we're unlikely to know much about them and it will be difficult to bring them to justice. So it's more important to think about the victim. In this example, the victim is manipulated into sending a sum of money overseas. That's followed up by the transfer of increasing sums of money. The victim thinks they're helping a friend and doesn't realise they're being scammed and often doesn't accept it even when they're told. The first sign is money transferred overseas where the customer hasn't sent any payments to that country before and has no clear connection to the country. Of course, there might be genuine reasons for this, but it's a first indicator. A second and larger transaction to the same receiver is a clearer indication of a scam. There are likely to be further transfers as well with escalating amounts. At what point should transaction monitoring rules step in and alert this behaviour? With transaction monitoring, there's always a balance between attempting to detect everything and identifying too many false positives. It's often a threshold amount that can be adjusted, but in this case, it's a number of times that the pattern is seen.
That's a really interesting example you've got there. Have you got an example of a more vulnerable client, such as an elderly person?
If an elderly person's having trouble managing their finances, it's often the case that a relative will become a power of attorney, for example. The relative might drain the account over a short period of time without the elderly person realising.
The funds taken from the account could be many and various, such as ATM withdrawals, transfers to the relative's accounts, or large purchases. The key here is to look back at the victim's previous history. They probably didn't used to make frequent ATM withdrawals, transfers, or large purchases. A significant change in any customer's behaviour is worth investigating, but in this case, it's especially significant as the change in behaviour follows the addition of a new user to the account.
That's really interesting. Are you finding that clients are adding lots of new rules after this change of emphasis?
I've certainly seen some rules added after these discussions. But thinking about victims, it doesn't necessarily need us to new transaction monitoring rules and more alerts to process. In some ways, I think it's less about the actual rules added and more about opening our eyes to things that we can do to protect customers.
That's great, Colin. Thanks very much. It's good to keep in mind that the ultimate reason for detecting financial crime isn't to bring the offender to justice. It's to stop people being the victim of crimes. Thanks, Colin. That was a really insightful session. And thank you to the listener for joining us. If you'd like to find out more about Jade Third Eye, please visit jadethirdeye.com.